with Hallelujah. I was sharing with my mom this morning. I said, "We're going to wake up to sunshine today." She said, "It's coming. We're going to have a sunny day. It just started a little cloudy this morning."
I do want to mention this morning that if you guys could, if you guys have not given me this, if you could give me your name, your children's names, if you haven't done that, and their birthdays and anniversaries, and your birthdays and anniversaries, I'd like to get those to Holly so she could have them. Holly is our card person, and she likes to keep that list updated. So that she can get those out, and also it helps me to get our one call list updated and where it should be. And if you could get that to me, and I know some of you may have given that to me sometime in the past, and I could have lost it. We were having trouble getting on the one call page for a while, and I may have misfiled a thing or two. So who knows, right? But if you could get that to me, if you don't notice that you have, if you haven't been receiving something, or if you're not getting the one call, please, then that would be a good sign you need to get that to me. I should turn this back around, I guess, now. It's one of those mornings. Bear with me, guys. I'm telling you. Anyway, pray for those that are out today. We've got some people still doing a little vacation stuff. I think all the Van Gundys are up at the lake. And pray for those that couldn't be here today. Jeanette is still at home for the hospital, but she's kind of convalescing too a little bit at home. So keep Jeanette in prayer. And those of you that have been helping her, I greatly appreciate that. Of course, we mentioned before, keep the Pollings in prayer and them being at home. Holly, yes.
Yeah, for those of you that know Amanda Winkle, the Winkle family attended our church for a long time. She was diagnosed with breast cancer this week and will be having surgery on the 13th, followed by chemotherapy. So if you could keep Amanda and her family in prayer, that would be great.
Yes, please keep them in prayer. And she's been in close contact with everyone here and asking for prayer for some time before she even had everything nailed down as to what it was. So, and there's others, you know, there's the people in our own church that are battling cancer. And I know, I think Ted finally figured out a treatment, didn't you, Ted, the direction you're going? Yeah, so keep Ted in prayer with that. And you guys are going to be gone next weekend, I think. I think you're getting away for a weekend, right? And I know Reds are gone for a weekend. Everyone's taking these weekends. I'm getting jealous. Shirley, you ready for a weekend?
I have one.
Huh?
I said I have one in a couple weeks.
You do?
Oh,
man. Hey, the fair thing is her. It's all her. I mean, I help, but, man, that's her weekend. She's there with all the 4-H kids having a great time, and that's a good thing. Liz, is there anything else before we go to prayer this morning that I could lift up or family members or anything going on? He's not going to like me to say this, but I'm going to say it anyway. Please keep Matt in prayer. He's really having some back issues and knee issues, and he could use some prayer. Unfortunately, his job doesn't help the matter any, but he could use some prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day and all you've given us. Lord, we think of these prayer requests we have today for those that have been ill and those who are convalescing and at home. And Lord, we pray for strength and proper decisions and the right people even to get involved sometimes and help. We pray for encouragement. We pray for, or certainly, Lord, lift up Amanda to you in this upcoming surgery and the others in the church that have been battling cancer and Ted's treatment that's coming up. And Lord, just I know they trust you, and I know that your hand is on their life, and give them comfort and peace through this time and guide the doctors to make the right decisions. Lord, I do lift up Matt to you and the pain he's trying to work with at work right now, that Lord, that would subside. Thank you for everyone here today. I just thank you for this congregation, for the fact that we come here, we love you, and we desire to learn more about you each and every day. Lord, I lift up David Tomaso, and that you would keep him safe on his deployment and his unit, his troop. Lord, that they would be safe. I lift up our other service members and these families that have lost some recently. Lord, I lift this country up to you. And Lord, I ask that Christians stand firm in your word and what is true, and be strong in being loving, but being unmoving at the same time. Lord, I thank you for this day. I ask that you guide me and direct me as I give the message today. And again, be with us, Lord. Prepare our hearts. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
And if you'll stand with us again, we're going to continue on the screen. Will, can I get you to turn the music up just a little bit for us this morning? But if you'll stand, we're going to continue on the screen with You Alone Can Rescue Us.
Who are the same themselves?
leads. Amen. He does. He is the one. His praise is where our hearts belong. Page 648. We're going to sing this morning, Love Divine, All Loves Excel. We're going to sing verses 1, 2, and 4. Verses 1, 2, and 4.
Sounds like the kids are excited. You know, just when we were getting back to the point of being able to have more personal contact, I think things are happening to want a separation from that again. Ted was just asking me, he says, do you think we could get back to greeting each other again? Well, I'm not sure about that, but I'm sure that we can still greet each other in other ways, and we need to be that compassionate with each other. You know, I'm a hugger, and I know a lot of you are. And yesterday, it was kind of funny. I was at the market day at Van Gundy's, and I was just hugging everybody. And I just felt like hugging everybody. And I thought to myself, you know, this is kind of weird. I really feel like hugging people today. And then I remembered something, that a few years ago when our dear sister that's with the Lord now, Becky Newell, the day before she passed away was a Sunday, and she was in here, and it was really odd. She usually kind of stayed at her seat during the greeting time. But that Sunday, she was walking around hugging everybody. And I thought, uh-oh. But no, I'm here today, and we'll see how that goes. We're in the book of Proverbs today, and I want to talk a little bit this morning about some pretty obvious proverbs and some things that we probably need to pay a little bit of attention to, because these are biblical truths. The first thing that I want to read in the first part of Proverbs is why Proverbs. Why was it that Solomon wrote Proverbs? In the very beginning, I'm going to start in chapter 1. It says, "The Proverbs of Solomon, son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man," or a young woman, I may add, "knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning. A man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction." I want you to pay attention to that a little bit, what he says right there. That the fear of the Lord, knowing and having that deep respect and knowledge of God and who he is and what he says, is the beginning of knowledge. But fools despise wisdom and instruction. So, I'm going to move ahead a couple times in here today. And I want to talk a little bit about what things affect us during these Proverbs and things that we do. I'm going to jump up to verse 10. It says, "My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. Are sinners always going to entice you to follow them along? From the time you were a little boy or a little girl, wasn't there someone always trying to get you to do something that you didn't?" Yeah, I can remember a little boy enticing me to cut a lady's rhubarb that wasn't mine when I was very, very little. And he didn't get in trouble, but boy, I sure did. And I don't think things have changed that much since. It says in verse 10, "My son, if sinners entice you, don't consent. If they say, 'Come with us, let us wait to shed blood, let us lurk secretly on the innocent without cause, let us swallow them up like Sheol and whole like those who go down to the pit,' we shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast your lot among us and let us have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way of them." Now, he's going to an extreme there. He's kind of talking about armed robbery and murder here. And things aren't always that blunt up front. "But sinners will pull you away to a place you don't need to be. It says, 'Keep your foot from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they haste to shed blood. Surely in vain that the net is spread in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They lurk secretly for their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who is greedy for gain. It takes away the life of its owners.'" What that passage right there is bearing is setting, they're spreading this wide net that is so obvious where they're headed that anyone can see it. Anyone can see that the way they're living and what they're doing, the things they're doing in their life, is not going to turn out well. But they're so full of their own thoughts and conceits and plans that they don't even realize how, dare I say, obviously stupid they really look. But they do. It's like sometimes you can look at the path people are on, You can look at what people are doing and think, man, and you try to tell them, this is nothing but folly. This is going to end up real bad for you. But you're so caught up in this at the time, and you're so greedy for the gain, whether it's something physically or mentally or whatever it is, you're so greedy to have that, that you don't even realize that everyone else can see that you're just going to fail. And then you fail. And that's what happens. Solomon's warning about this. I like this in verse 20. Wisdom calls aloud outside. She cries out in the chief concourses or in the city gates. At the openings of the city gates, she speaks her words. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? For scorners delight in their scoring and fools hate knowledge. That's true knowledge. The foolish hate true knowledge. Turn at my rebuke. Surely I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you. Because I have called you out, and you have refused, I stretch out my hand, and no one regarded. Because you disdained all my counsel, you would have none of my rebuke. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your terror comes. When your terror comes like a storm and your destruction comes like a whirlwind, then distress and anguish come upon you. You know what he's talking about here? He's talking about, you know what? I've warned you. This is Solomon talking. I warned you, my son. I've talked to you. I've explained these things. But because you reject all this, the day's going to come. When all this calamity is going to happen, I'm just going to sit back and say, what do you want me to do about it now? I warned you. I told you. This is what was going to happen. Now you've got to live what's going to happen. Because I warned you and I told you and you rejected God and you rejected the knowledge. Now here it is. Nobody wants to be in that position. And I'll tell young people something specifically, and I want you to pay attention. This is very important because I lived it and many of you have lived it. There is a time when you're in high school and when you're just out of high school and for the next few years when people give you a lot of leeway because they're hoping and they're guiding and they're still giving you leeway because you know what? You're still young. They're accepting some mistakes. They're realizing you got growing up to do and these kind of things. And people will still encourage you. People will walk with you. People will help you out. They'll give you jobs. They'll recommend jobs. They'll help you do all kinds of things. You know, if you're willing to do them and you want them. But the day will come if you don't listen and you don't follow, and you keep making mistakes, and the mistakes become larger when people will say, well, it's time for them to grow up, and I'm just, you know, and the help pulls back. It does. I witnessed that in my own life when I look back on it. And I can actually see when that began to happen, when people began to say, you know what, I've tried. I've tried to help him. I've tried to be there for him. I've tried to encourage him. I've tried to do what I could, but obviously he wants to do it his own way, so now I'm going my way. And that's just a natural fact, and that's what happens. And that's what Solomon's kind of explaining here, that this is a process that happens. So the point is, stay on the right road and take that instruction, and we'll read that next. It says, then they will call on me, and I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, they will not find me, because they hated knowledge, and they did not choose to fear the Lord. Wow. They would have none of my counsel and despise my every rebuke. Therefore, they shall eat the fruit of their own way and be filled to the full with their own fancies. For the turning away of the simple will slay them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But whoever listens to me will dwell safely and will be secure without fear of evil. Do you understand how simple that is? To desire the knowledge of God and not the knowledge of the Word. begins in verse in chapter 2. My son, if you receive my words and treasure my commands within you, so that you incline your ear to wisdom and apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding, and you will seek her as silver. Now, when he says that, think about that. Silver's a precious metal, something worth a lot. And we seek things that we want a lot of. Don't some of you want, you know, your young people, don't you want to kind of make money? I hear that all the time out of young people. You know, I just want to make money. I hear more teenagers tell me when they're getting out of high school that, you know what, I'm going to retire when I'm 40. I'm going to be rich. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Now, rarely does that happen, but you can see what they're seeking after and what they desire. They want to have all those things they haven't been able to have yet. And they seek that. So what he's saying here is silver and wealth is something we really aspire to have and desire to have. But it says here, what it says here, apply your heart to understanding. Yes, if you cry out for discernment and lift up your voice for understanding and you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. That's where the wisdom comes from. I think it's funny today that so many people think that they're so wise, but yet they're being so foolish. And what's really difficult is the truly wise can see the foolishness of it. But because they're not seeking God and his knowledge, they can't see it. But it's so obvious to some of us. You know, sometimes you just want to say, why? Why won't you listen? Why won't you see the truth? And it's a very simple answer. Because they're desiring the knowledge of the world rather than the knowledge of God. And they're seeking the real silver and the real pleasure and those things of it rather than seeking God with all their might. You know, it talks about her to seek it as treasure. You ever talk to a treasure hunter? I knew a guy that was a treasure hunter. Destroyed his life. Destroyed his marriage. Destroyed his family. Traveled all over the world treasure hunting. After he ran through all of his money, his wife was left at home and she'd been working and saving money, and he came back and he took all her money and she let him do it. And he never found any treasure. When he was near death, he told me that, he goes, you know, Pastor, he said, I can tell you a place right now in Mexico where there's a wealth of silver hidden in a cave. I thought, no, you can't. You'd have done found it if it was there. You know, you're still treasure hunting in your mind. You know, treasure hunters really seek this stuff hard. And they're always convinced it's going to be there. It's like you remember talking about gold fever, you know, the gold rush. People did crazy stuff for gold fever. And thousands of them died seeking the elusive gold. But he's telling us to seek the knowledge of the Lord as if we had knowledge of the Lord fever. I've got to have it. I need it. I know that's where all true knowledge is going to come from. And that is what I need. Not man's knowledge, not the world's knowledge. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. Pastor, why doesn't the Lord protect me? Pastor, I need to pray for the Lord's protection. I have a simple question. Do you desire to walk uprightly? Because that's when your shield comes. If you want to keep a foot firmly in the world, the shield's already been breached. You've breached the shield. You've left that door wide open. You're stepping in and out of where you're supposed to be. How is the Lord to protect you from something that you're desiring to have? Does that make any sense? We pray all the time, as I did this morning, for a shield of protection around our young people. Young people, I've got to tell you something. You need to desire that shield of protection too. We can pray that those don't influence you that shouldn't be an undue influence on you. And that Lord, the Lord can shut the mouths of those that would spread false truths and drag you away. But the truth is, you have to make that decision that you're not going to be dragged away by it, and that you're going to seek what God wants you to do first. That's where all knowledge comes from. All true knowledge comes from God. It says, He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of His saints. I want my way preserved. I want to know that tomorrow, no matter what happens, the Lord is going to guide my path. Why do we have so many people today that are so hopeless, especially many young people? They see no hope in the future. They see no hope in tomorrow. A lot of it is because they're hearing so much doomsday stuff that I don't know how they process it, being young and desiring to have a bright future ahead of them, when they're always hearing that everything's about ready to explode and blow up and they're not going to have anything and all this stuff's going to happen. I don't think they really want to hear that. I really don't. And I'm not sure they should be hearing that. Because the truth of the matter is, the day of this destruction affects everyone who doesn't accept Jesus Christ. It's not confined to this time. It is confined to all time. So the truth is, when you surrender your life to Christ and you desire the knowledge of God, He's going to protect your paths regardless of whatever happens in the world. But if you reject God and you go on your own path and do your own thing and desire what the world has, you're going to find destruction. I don't care if you were born in the year 06 or if you're born in the year 2066. It doesn't matter. Destruction's there anyway. It's not time specific. Whether the world ends or not, your life away from God is set in stone if you reject Him. So it doesn't matter. There's where your fear needs to lie. Not in what's going to happen a year from now or 10 years from now. Right? Then you understand righteousness and justice, equity in every good path. You'll begin to understand what a good path is. When you seek what God wants in your life, and paths are laid out before you and in front of you, you're going to recognize that path, that the one that you should be on. You're not going to have that indecision. Oh, should I do this? Should I do that? I don't know about this. I don't know who I should listen to. You're going to say, you know what? I clearly see this path. This is a path that the Lord would be acceptable and honoring to God. And this is the path I need to be on. You're going to have that. Then what does it say? When wisdom enters your heart and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. Don't you love that? Now you're to the point, you've trusted God, that what has happened, wisdom has entered your heart. Your heart is now producing and knowing wisdom like it didn't before. And it says, and knowledge is pleasant to your soul. The knowledge of the things of God, rather than now be something that convicts you or makes you feel scared or inadequate, it is now something that feels pleasant to you, because thank you for that knowledge, Lord. I can use it. I need it. And I get such warmth and strength from it. And it says, discretion will preserve you. Discretion. I say that word again, discretion. We lack it so much in our lives. And it's particularly a problem with young people trying to make decisions. But it says, then that is that proper discretion through God is what's going to preserve you. It's what's going to keep you. You see, understand something. Young people, you may have a wonderful life ahead of you and have a marriage and a family and a wonderful life and do well. And I pray that happens in your life. But see, the thing is, when you sought the knowledge of God, and He preserves you, it doesn't matter what happens. He's there. It's like Paul says, whether I live or whether I die. If I die, I'm with the Lord. Isn't that great? I know nobody wants to die here. I don't know anybody here that really wants to die. I've talked to some elderly people that say, boy, I'm ready. But the truth is, if you know the Lord, the thing that we can all take comfort is that when we cross that bridge, and it happens so instantaneously, that we're going to be with a loving God, and we're going to know and feel much better than we do where we're sitting right now. So please don't be afraid of it. Know that if you're to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord, and there's no greater place. It's going to be better than anything you can imagine. You're going to feel more joy than anything you've ever known. It's going to be more loving than the best relationship that you could ever be in. It's going to be more compassionate than the warmest hug you've ever felt. Don't fear it. But you have to seek God. You have to seek his knowledge. To deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the paths of uprighteous to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice in doing evil and add delight in the perversity of the wicked, those who are crooked, those who are devious in their paths, to deliver you from the immoral woman, from the seductress who flatters with her words, who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. Young man, you need to seek an honorable woman. Don't be seduced by flattering talk, by beautiful looks that are turned away from God. I want to tell you something. She has no desire for God, young man. Don't you dare have any desire for her. And that's just the way it is. Nothing wrong with being friends. Nothing wrong with inviting them to church. Nothing wrong with encouraging them to accept the Lord. But don't you start that romantic ride without a saddle. You're going to fall off on the first bump and it's going to stay that way. I would say the same thing to young ladies here today. Solomon happens to be talking to his son. And for her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. So you may walk in the way of goodness and keep the paths of righteousness. For the upright will dwell in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the earth, and the unfaithful will be uprooted from it. Wow. Where do you want to end up? What do you want down the road? Is it worth it to have that momentary, I guess you'd call it joy, that momentary excitement, that momentary feeling of emotion? Is it worth it for a lifetime of pain? I would say no. He says, my son, do not forget my law, but let your heart keep my commands for a length of days and long life and the peace they will add to you. I'm talking about, let me talk about peace for a minute. And I'm talking about every age group. I'm talking about the young that seem to be in too much of a hurry to think about peace. But they really do. Because as I talk to young people, many of them are very depressed. Depression amongst our young people is at an all-time high. If they are depressed, they do not have peace. Because if you have peace, you are not depressed. Amen. Make sense? So why are they depressed? Because they're not seeking God. And they don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And they don't know. I love this saying, and it's just such a wonderful one to keep in your mind. Everybody put it in the refrigerator. Young people, put these on the front of your notebook. I don't know what tomorrow holds, but I know who holds tomorrow. Do you understand that? None of us can know what's going to be tomorrow. But if you are walking with the Lord, if you are seeking His wisdom, if you've given your life to Christ, you're going to know that He's got tomorrow. And just knowing that that strength is there is going to give you that peace and take away some of that confusion. It's like a young child. If you drop them in a crowd, they're going to scream and cry and be bewildered. But if daddy picks them up and holds them, he can walk through that crowd and they're just fine. And that's what God does for us when we give him our life, when we let him hold us. We can walk through that confusion and that crowd, and we feel just as safe as can be. The crowd's going to be there. The confusion's going to be there. But only God is going to allow you to feel secure in it and give you peace. And then, of course, we go on in life. It's time to find a job. You start that new job, for some reason, people don't like you. Workforce can be a tough place. A lot of backstabbing going on there. But are we going to go home worried to death every day because so-and-so told my boss that so-and-so did this and did that, and I may come in tomorrow and get called in by the boss, I may get fired? Are we going to worry about that? Or are we going to say, Lord, I'm doing the best that I can. I'm trying to live and walk for you. I trust you with tomorrow. And if I walk in that door tomorrow, and if I get fired tomorrow, I know that you're in control and you've got a whole new door that's going to open, and I need to be excited for that. You see the difference? And then there comes that time when it's time that we're going to get married. And we find that person and they seem like they're perfect. And maybe they're walking with us. And Lord, I pray they're walking together with you. You're in the Word of God together. You're planning your lives together. But you don't know what tomorrow holds. And you do not know. But you know that God holds it. No matter what happens, he's going to be there through it and throughout it. I was reading the story of Jeremy Camp yesterday, who was he's a musician. And his wife at 21 years old got cervical cancer and was gone. 4 months gone. What did he do with that? Young man living for the Lord, they got great plans together, everything going fine. How does he handle that? You know what? He knew who held the future, and it got him through it. Nothing's promised. There comes that time, folks, when we start having kids. Oh, wow. What do? Do we start a college fund? Do we not? Do we keep them in a bubble, or we do expose them? What do? I mean, there's so many questions that young parents have. And as kids grow up, how much do I let my kids do? How much do I keep them at home? How much do I limit their activities in school and their sports activities and have more family activities? How much, what do I do? And there's that road. But you know what? Here's the thing. If you seek the knowledge of God and what God wants and direction in your life, and you pray for their direction in their life, let me tell you something. He's going to work that out just fine. And we have to remember what he says. He says, train up an old child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And that literally, that verse says, train up a child in the way that he is bent. Quit trying to force your desires on a child. Other than teaching them the knowledge of the truth of the Word of God and to be strong in the Lord, God designed them to be who they're going to be. And you need to follow the way that they're going to be and help them however God has designed them. Mechanic dad, your son may be the best musician in the world. You need to accept that. Musician dad, your son may be a great mechanic that God has great things planned for. You need to accept that and help them along the way. Don't live your life vicariously through your children. Many people do that. I see that in sports all the time. You guys ever see that happen? Yeah, we hear those parents in the stands, don't we? You know, getting angry at their kids because their kids did something and they just rail at them. It's not about that kid. It's about them. Train up a child in the way that God designed them. And you know, the only way you're going to know that design is to pay attention. Pay attention to your children. Follow them. And that doesn't mean if they begin to desire sin that God designed them that way. Sin is something in this world that we always have to stand firm against with our young people, no matter how they feel or what they think. I don't understand it when young people say, I know what the Bible says, but why can't you just trust my feelings? And your answer should be, because I don't trust my own feelings. We trust the heart of God and the Word of God. Bible tells us that the heart of the mind are deceitfully wicked. Who could know it? Our emotions are not what we operate by. The Word of God is what we operate by. But here's the neat thing about that. As we understand in these passages, that when our heart and our mind are guided in the right direction, our emotions will follow. Isn't that great? That's what he was talking about, having that peace in the soul of what is right. You know what's right. You have peace in your soul when those thoughts come to your mind. And the things that are wrong, you know them too. That's when that red light goes off and says, don't go there. You ever have that? Of course we do. Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Then it says something interesting here. Bind them around your neck. Mercy and truth, bind them around your neck. What's that mean? Folks, they're not going anywhere. You know, Pharisees sometimes would put these like phylacteries around their neck to remind them of things. I don't suggest that we put big laminated things around our neck that have verses so that we remember those. But, you know, it's kind of talking that way. In other words, let something be so much on your mind and in your knowledge that it may as well be bound around your neck. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Isn't that kind of neat? The things that come to your heart, that come from your heart, it might as well be written in a tablet in your heart because it's staying there. You know what I don't like about cell phones and people using them for Bibles? You lose service, you lose what's there. You realize that? You have a Bible that is your buddy. I want your Bible to be your buddy. I want you to keep it with you. I want you to have it where you can get to it. I want you to be able to write notes in it beside things to remind yourself. People say, oh, you wouldn't write in your Bible. That's holy. Come on, guys. The words are holy. The rest of it's just paper and ink. Let that Bible be something you have that you can always turn to regardless of what your cell service is. Huh? Let the Bible be your companion, something that's with you. See, I have Bibles that I cherish because I know what they are. I know what's in them. And I know that I can turn to it. Even if I go through those hills on 257, this Bible doesn't change. Those hills on 257, cell service gone. 203 is the same way. Of course, I shouldn't be reading my Bible and going through those hills either. But you understand what I mean. You get up to the school, I want to tell you something. If you're not a kid that has an online account at the school, when you get up to anywhere around our school up there, you're done. No cell service. You can't get online. You can't do anything. How are you supposed to read your Bible? Write them on the tablet of your heart and so find favor with high esteem in the sight of God. And then what does it say? Oh, wow. At the first part of this passage, we were talking about people wanting to, in a sense, find favor with man. You're doing what your buddies want. You're following your buddies because you want them to like you. Isn't that where it always starts? Isn't that how you go along with something that you shouldn't? Somebody entices you, and you want them to like you, so you follow them along. But what does it say? And so find favor in high esteem. In other words, be looked up at. People look at you. With a good thought of who you are. You're in high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now you get both. God first and man second. The first way not only puts you in low esteem in the sight of God, but it also destroys you in the sight of man eventually. Why would you want to do anything but do what you're supposed to? And I'm talking to you. I want you to listen to me this specifically. Some of you young people that have not got on a path yet and built up a lot of things in your life that you got to deal with. You guys are somewhat of an open book that is ready to start to be written, start writing right. Make these first chapters something honoring to God so that you can have that better life. Because God says you'll have it, and He does not lie. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not to your own understanding. Do you know what gets us in the biggest amount of trouble? Is what? Is what?
We know it all.
We know it all. Our own understanding. Well, I know what the Bible says, but. I know what God says, but. I know what I should be doing, but. Right? You need to get rid of that but. Don't need it. I know what I should be doing, and I'm going to do it. Do you want that peaceful life, that glorious life? That life where you'd get up every morning trusting God? You get up every morning knowing that God's going to be with you. Yes, trials are going to come your way. Difficulties. You're going to get blindsided by things. But I can promise you, you're never blindsided alone. Because God is there and you know it. And no matter how difficult it is, you know that God has a plan in the ultimate outcome. And you can trust Him because He's trustworthy. And lean not unto your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. That all your ways is interesting because we're multifaceted people. Many of us have a spiritual side, and then we have a desire side, and then we have a covet side, and then we have a lustful side. I acknowledge God over here, but when I'm with this company, I'm going to acknowledge this. When I'm in this company, I'm going to act that way. When I'm in this company, I'm going to be that way. He says, no. Acknowledge Him in all your ways, in everything you do. No matter what company you're keeping, keep in mind and up front that I am a child of the most awesome God in the world, and He is my Father, and He's going to direct me. And in this situation, I need to trust Him. You may not be real popular with a few people that you're used to being popular with right off, but I want to tell you something. When they watch your life, they're going to desire that they had your life instead of their own, because they're going to be part of that group that their destruction is obvious, like we read in the first part of this message. It's laid out like a net. Everyone can see it. The only way that you're going to ever stand a chance of winning one of your friends or people that you desire to be around or know or relatives, the only way you're going to ever stand a chance of leading them to the Lord and them knowing the Savior that you do is for you to be the same person all the time in everything you do. Otherwise, they're going to punch holes in everything you say that you believe. Wow. Pretty high standard, Pastor. No. It's that thing where He says if we seek His knowledge, He gives it to us. And He changes our lives. Right? Does that matter what we call sanctification? That's a word that people like to use in the church that nobody understands, even half the church people. It means that we're constantly getting better. Closer to the Lord because of what we're seeking, not because of what we already have. We're pure in God's eyes because we've been covered by the blood of the Lamb. But we're still stained by the world. And we need to grow each and every day. And He shall direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil, and it will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Do you guys realize that unhealthy living gives you an unhealthy body. Living in sin is destructive to your flesh and to your bones. Even if you don't have any what they call bad habits, living apart from God is destructive to your body. Because even your body knows that it needs God in the center of it. Doctors have shown that people that have joy and peace in their life have a tendency to get well, whether people that don't, as quickly. Why is that? Because God designed us that way. We need to have the peace and understand God. You know that in most real sicknesses, the people that have a strong faith and a strong prayer life tend to get well so much at a higher percentage than those that don't. Why is that? Because we read it right here. He will give health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Honor the Lord with your possessions, with the first fruits of your increase, so your barns will be filled with plenty, and your vats will overflow with new wine. God does not honor stinginess, folks. I'm telling you that. I'm going to leave that at that and let you think about that. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor his correction. For whom the Lord loves, he corrects, just as the Father, the Son, in whom he delights. Happy, yeah, I'm stopping there. Happy is the man that finds wisdom. Think about those words this week, okay? If you don't remember anything else I said, remember this. Happy is the man or woman or child that finds wisdom. And that wisdom comes from the Lord. Do you want happiness in your life? Quit looking in the wrong places. You're not going to find it. But you are going to find it if you look in the right place. I think this today should be a very positive message. I just told you guys how to be happy. Doesn't everyone want to be happy and have peace in their life? Young people, walk down those halls in school with your head held high that my God's in control and he's in charge and he loves me. No matter who else feels any other way about me, my God loves me. How can I lose? Stay in his word, let him direct your paths and he will. Desire for him to direct your paths and he will. Don't be confused with life, not understanding what tomorrow is. Isn't that great? You know, we're in a very special place, and we're very special people. Our Father is the living God, and we can have the most wonderful life ahead of us. I've had two people tell me something this week. Ted and Gloria, in two separate situations. Gloria in the hospital, not knowing what was wrong with her. That could have been very grave. And Ted, who knows what's wrong with him, well, at least physically. We still don't all know mentally. But both of them told me the same thing. I'm okay. God's got tomorrow. And it's real easy to be upset when something first happens and you have that, oh no. It's hard to be told, hey, I got cancer. That's a tough one. No one wants to hear the big C. Then when you sit back and you realize my God loves me so much that he sent his son to die for me on the cross. He loves me that much. Do I really have to fear tomorrow? And both of you said that this week, and I know you meant it from your heart. Isn't that where you want to be rather than living in fear and worrying about, oh no, what's this now? This is going to turn into that and that's going to turn into this. And how it's going to affect this, that. That's where our minds go if we don't trust God every day. But because they trust God, they can do that. And you can do that and you do that. Praise God for that. This is something that he offers to each and every one of us. Praise God. Praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day. for everything that you give us, for your wonderful grace, that, Lord, you offer us wisdom. All we have to do is reach out to you and take hold of it. And, Lord, I pray that we do. I pray if there's those there today that don't know you as Lord and Savior, that today be their day of salvation. That, Lord, we follow you and we walk with you and we desire to be guided, to be mentored, to be taught. Lord, let us be a wonderful body of believers that reaches out and helps those in need. And our greatest desire is for others and not ourselves. We ask these things in your precious name. Amen.
If you'll open your hymnals this morning and turn with us to page 401. Page 401, we're going to sing verses 1 through 3 of the Church's One Foundation.
Gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning for our tithe and offering and all that you so graciously give us in your name. Amen. Stephen, Dusty, could you do this? Tell you something this morning that about Proverbs that I was just reading from Proverbs. You know, God granted with Solomon unbelievable wisdom, but he didn't always use it. But I want to tell you, when he wrote Proverbs, he was using the wisdom that God gave him. And I would encourage you as parents. I know that we like to spend a lot of time in the New Testament, and that's wonderful that we do. But I would encourage you as a parent to sit down with your children daily. And just take a few verses out of Proverbs and go all the way through it and read the Proverbs to your children, because they are instructed to children from someone that God gave incredible wisdom. And that's what they're there for. It's pure wisdom. And it's wonderful, understandable teachings that are written in those parables and in those things that he says. And when you get through Proverbs, I don't care if you do 3 verses a day. When you get to the end of Proverbs, start back at the beginning. And impress those things in your children's minds so they understand those wonderful proverbs that God gave Solomon to write down. They are so important for young people, and I would encourage you to do that. There's service tonight at 6:30. I don't believe there's youth group tonight. There's no youth group tonight, but there's service at 6:30. I look forward to that. We have our midweek Bible studies here at the church for the ladies and for those that come to my study, and then at Sauter's house, there's one at 7 o'clock at their house on Byers Road. So I'd encourage you to go to those also. Let's bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for this day, for your love, for all that you graciously give us. Thank you for this body of believers that love you. Let us go out into this mission field and share your wisdom with a dying world. We ask these things in your precious and holy name. Amen.